Well, if we have our Bibles, we're going to begin a new series this morning. We're ending and we're beginning. We just finished 1 Timothy last week, and this week we're beginning a series on 2 Timothy. So 2 Timothy chapter 1. If you have your pew Bibles, I believe it's page 1178. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of life in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, in Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a clear conscience, the way my forefathers did, as I constantly remember you in my prayers, night and day, longing to see you, even as I recall your tears, so that I may be filled with joy. For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois, in your mother Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and of love and discipline. May God bless the reading of his word. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastors Mike and Kevin. And welcome to Living Hope Church worship service. I want to speak to those of you who are watching online first this morning. And the reason for that is I want to thank our old worship leader, Simon. He's been doing some work on our website. And you now have the ability, if you're watching online, and just toggle down to the bottom of that page, if you got in through our website, that you could give us prayer requests, ask for information, give us contact information. So that's a new feature. So if you're watching us online and you have a prayer request, just toggle to the bottom of the screen in the box that says messages and let us know what your prayer request is. If it's anonymous, you don't have to even tell us who you are. Just type in your prayer request and send it to us. If you have any other kind of requests, April, our office manager, has asked if you would like to receive the weekly bulletin that we have here, let us know. We'll mail it to you every week. If you want to be added to our email list, let us know. We'll add you to the email list. So this is a way for us to contact you because unlike before March 15th, we have more people watching online than we have here in the sanctuary. And some of you, we probably don't know who you are. So if you'd like a personal contact, just let us know. We'd love to hear from you. If you have any way we can enhance your worship experience at home, let us know, and we're willing to make any changes we need to make to help accommodate you watching at home. So thank you for watching. All right, as Pastor Kevin has already mentioned, we are in a new sermon series, and I hope you did your homework. And if you did your homework, that means you've already read 2 Timothy chapter 1. If you haven't done your homework, that's okay, follow along. But if you have, you already have a sense about what this letter is because it's unusual. Here we have Paul writing another letter to his friend Timothy, his protege Timothy. You know, letters were hard to write back then. You already heard this. And you have to wonder, why would Paul write Timothy a second letter after he's already written him one and there's probably 100 other people he could take and write a letter to? Why would he choose to take his time and write another letter to Timothy? Well, we're going to find out why this morning. Because this morning, I'm going to give you an overview of this letter. And I don't like to call it a book because it was a letter. This was a letter that Paul wrote to Timothy. And a second one. And there's a very specific reason why he did it. And that's what we're going to look at. And hopefully when you understand the reason and get the overview of the book, when you read this, it will have more of a meaning to you. You'll understand it better. All right, so let's get into looking at Paul's second letter that we have written to his protege Timothy. He was a man letting go of his life. He sat in a jail cell that was much more like a dungeon than a cell. It was poorly lit. It was cold. It was damp. He was chained to a wall, and he was waiting. He was waiting to die. His execution was imminent, and he was lonely. And his thoughts began to wander back to a close friend, someone who was actually more like a son to him than a friend, someone that he had shared many experiences with, both good and bad. And the very last image he had of his friend was of him weeping, because his friend was so saddened that he had to leave. He didn't want him to leave. And now he sits in his jail cell, longing to see his friend one more time. So he sits down and decides to write his friend a letter. And in the letter, he tells his friend how much he loves him, tells him how much he wants to encourage him. He wants the build him up because he's now informing him that he is the one that needs to continue the work that they shared together. It's time for his friend to take over. And his friend must not fail. The man writing the letter, of course, is the Apostle Paul. And the friend receiving the letter, of course, is his protege, Timothy. 2 Timothy is such a serious, dynamic letter. It is so authentic and so genuine. Paul had recently been arrested under orders of the Roman emperor, and of course that was Nero. During Nero's reign, he took great pleasure in persecuting and killing Christians. Nero was the emperor that killed both Peter and Paul. This letter that we're looking at was written very shortly before Paul's death. Many times I hear at funerals things like this: I never got a chance to tell whoever the deceased was, tell them how much I missed them or appreciated them or how much I cared about them or loved them. Well, the Apostle Paul wants to make sure he tells Timothy everything that's on his heart while he still has a chance. So more than anything, this letter that Paul writes to Timothy is a changing of the guard. Paul is passing the torch of ministry for the Christian church to Timothy. Now, there's one fact that's kind of undeniable for all of us, that when we go through very difficult times, our vision can fade. What I mean by that is when we go through very difficult times, our plans for the future can get fuzzy. Our hopes and dreams for the future can kind of start to dissipate. Well, that's what's happening to young Timothy, Paul's protege. You see, Paul, as we looked at in 1 Timothy, has sent Timothy to a mess of a church. The mess of a church was at Ephesus. And he's asked Timothy to go and be their senior pastor. And when Timothy gets there, he finds he's way over his head. All the leadership at the Ephesian church was much older than he was, and nobody in the church respected him. And to make matters worse, Timothy, by nature, was very shy and very timid and avoided confrontation. The stress of the ministry assignment we saw in 1 Timothy was affecting his health. He found himself sick constantly with stomach ailments, probably ulcers. In the meantime, his mentor, his apostle Paul, has been arrested by the Roman government. Timothy's vision had dissipated. The excitement that Timothy once felt and the enthusiasm he once felt when he joined up with Paul's ministry and partnered with Paul, it's gone. Somewhere between his bad health, his discouragement about the church, the fact that his mentor had been arrested, Timothy's vision had completely slipped away. He needed his vision renewed. That is a big reason why Paul decided to write his protege again. Paul, as I said, he's taking the torch of ministry and handing it to Timothy. You know, one of the great spectacles at the Olympics is the passing of the torch. It's a very, very symbolic symbol. It means one person has fulfilled their duties and responsibilities, and now those same duties and same responsibilities are being passed on to another person, and another person, and another person. Paul says to Timothy, "I have finished my leg of the race. I am passing the torch of the gospel of Christ to you." In chapter 4, he says it to Timothy this way, "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith." Now it is Timothy's turn to carry the torch of the gospel on the next leg of the race. Paul's words, as we look at this book, Paul's words to Timothy are filled with sound, proven advice on how Timothy could be the most effective leader and the very best Christian he could be. Friends, like Timothy, all of us here who are Christian are running with the torch of Christ. We need to hear Paul's words ourselves, and we need to apply them to our lives to be effective in our service to God. I want to read again what Pastor Kevin's already read, those first 7 verses from this second letter to Timothy, and I want you to personalize it as though Paul is writing you this letter. This is what he says. "Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of life that was in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son, to Joe, my dear son, to Rick, my dear son, to Sylvia, my dear daughter." Think about it that way. "Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve, as my forefathers did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives also in you. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and self-discipline." Our emphasis this morning, for the sake of this introductory message to 2 Timothy, is going to be right in the middle of verse 6, where Paul tells Timothy to fan into flame the gift he has received from God. Scholars, as they usually do with almost everything, debate what was the gift that Timothy received. Well, there is a general consensus among scholars that Timothy received what is called a gift for ministry, which meant Timothy was gifted by God to start churches, to teach, to preach, and to evangelize. Paul's message to Timothy is, "Timothy, fully express your gift. Don't hold anything back in your work for Christ." And Paul then gives Timothy advice how to do this. And the very first thing Paul tells Timothy is, "Draw on your spiritual heritage." Now, everyone listening online today, everyone seated in the sanctuary, we all have a heritage. We can trace our families back to where they originated if we chose to, and we can know their careers, where they worked, and where they lived. Our ancestors' lives continue to shape our lives in some way. I mean, we bear the last name of our ancestors. Even our health is connected in some ways to that of our ancestors. Our family heritage can give us a complete picture of our identity, who we are, and where we came from. I want to give you the spiritual heritage of one such person. Now, you're all going to know who this person is when I'm done, but I want you to listen to this person's spiritual heritage. And this begins in 1858. Now, I know his heritage goes earlier than that, as all of us does, but that's where we can clearly define what his spiritual heritage was. In 1858, a Sunday school teacher by the name of Mr. Kimball, that's all we know about this guy. His name was Mr. Kimball, and he led a Boston shoe clerk to Christ. The shoe clerk's name was Dwight L. Moody. Now, most of you know who Moody was. He became a very successful evangelist. And then in 1879, while Moody was preaching in England, the heart of a pastor was changed by his preaching. That pastor's name was F.B. Meyer. F.B. Meyer came to America and started teaching on college campuses. And while he was preaching on college campuses, a student by the name of Wilbur Chapman was saved. Wilbur Chapman then engaged working for the YMCA and doing their ministry efforts. And Wilbur Chapman hired a former athlete by the name of Billy Sunday to come and do some evangelistic work. Well, Billy Sunday held a revival in Charlotte, North Carolina. And because so many people were stirred, 30 businessmen came to Billy Sunday and said, "We want to devote a complete day of prayer for Charlotte." In May of 1934, a farmer lent the men some land to use for their prayer meeting. The leader of the businessmen, his name was Vernon Patterson, and he prayed to God, "God, out of Charlotte, out of this meeting, please raise someone to preach the gospel to the ends of the earth." Well, now after the prayer meeting, the businessmen decided they need to hold an evangelistic meeting, so they brought in Mordecai Ham, a Southern Baptist preacher, to do the preaching. Well, the farmer who lent the land for the prayer meeting, it's a name you're familiar with, his name was Franklin Graham. His son was Billy Graham, who was saved at that evangelistic meeting. You can look at Billy Graham's spiritual heritage. A lot of names on that list are names you should recognize. A lot of people on the list are some of the most influential Christians of their era. Now, the truth is, likewise, all of us here have a spiritual heritage. All of you watching online, if you're a Christian, you have a spiritual heritage. And our spiritual heritage consists of those who introduced us to Christ, those who helped us mature in our faith. For some, your spiritual heritage may be tied to a church or a pastor, or maybe it's tied to a teacher or a friend, or maybe, like Timothy, it is tied to your family. Paul reminds Timothy of this in verse 5, where he says, "I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois, and then in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also." Timothy grew up in a house of faith with his mother and his grandmother. His mother and his grandmother were the ones who taught him about God. Now, in the period of time that Timothy lived, it was quite common that up until the age of 7, a Roman boy was taught primarily by his mother. That's what the custom was. Up to the age of 7, the mother was the greatest influencer on the children. And since Timothy's father was not religious, Timothy's father was a Gentile, it was also customary that boys living without a religious father would have their grandmother, if they were still alive, be the primary teacher of the law to them. So it was the grandmother's responsibility, and Timothy's grandmother, of course, was still alive. So Well, Paul is reminding Timothy is that he comes from a great family of faith. His mother Eunice and his grandmother Lois were great women of faith. And Paul lets Timothy know, don't forget your spiritual heritage. And he tells him he needs to draw on this spiritual heritage for strength and guidance in order to carry the torch of ministry that Paul is now passing to him. So, you have a spiritual heritage. Who comes to mind? If I were to ask you, who or what is your spiritual heritage? Who are the people that come to mind? I'm sure people come to mind. Those of you watching online, I'm sure people come to mind. Now, you know a little bit about my spiritual heritage because I'm up front. Three men greatly influenced my life for Christ. Larry Crampsey, John Bowen, and Herb White. Two of them have been here and preached since I've been your senior pastor. John Bowen and Herb White have both come here and preached. Larry Crampsey can't. He's gone off to heaven 20 years ago. They are what integral in my spiritual heritage. Who is integral in your spiritual heritage? Can you still go to them today? Are they still around? If you have a decision to make, are you going through crisis? Are they still active in your faith development today? Now, that's important questions, but I'm going to ask you even a more important question, much more important, and that is this. Whose life are you impacting? Who would say that you are part of their spiritual heritage? Who would say that about you? Because besides Timothy's mother and grandmother, Paul made up a substantial piece of Timothy's spiritual heritage. So much so that he refers to Timothy as my dear son. So it's his spiritual heritage that will help Timothy fan the flame for his gift for ministry. And you know the language Paul is using here about fanning the flame? I assume you all get what that means. Let me give you an example. Timothy's faith used to be like a bonfire. It was huge. And it was burning brightly. He was passionate. When he was ministering with Paul, Paul saw his gifts early on. So he had this huge bonfire of faith. And because of all the problems, the church at Ephesus kind of rejected him. The ulcers. His mentor is locked up in prison. He knows his mentor's going to die. All of a sudden, that bonfire just kind of goes less and less and it becomes embers. And the embers are just kind of smoldering. And maybe some of those embers are red. Well, how do you start a fire up like that again? Right? You know, you all know. You put a little kindling on it and you fan the flame. And as you fan it, you'll catch the kindling on fire and it will rekindle the flame. This imagery that Paul is giving Timothy is on purpose because his faith had dwindled down. He needed to have the fan on his embers that were left. Paul's saying, fan the flames. And one of the ways to do this is don't forget your spiritual heritage. He also tells him, Timothy, you need to develop the gift God has given you. In order for Timothy to fan into flame his gift for ministry, he must draw on his spiritual heritage. He must also develop his gift. Paul encourages him to develop that gift in verse 6, where he says this, "For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands." Again, fan into flame, the word means to rekindle. The gift that God has given Timothy, as I explained, is like a fire. It's burning inside of him. And he used to burn brightly, like a big bonfire. But Paul knows Timothy is discouraged. That it's only smoldering at this point. It hasn't died, but it's only smoldering. Paul wants Timothy to intensify that fire within him. He wants him to be overcome with passion, with the gift that God has given him, and use it to its fullest potential. You know, in the United States, there's a fire code system. Now, you see this if you go to national parks. We don't see it around here much because of where we live. But there's this fire code system that every single day is put out by the Weather Information Management System. It puts it out every day for every part of the country. And it kind of tells you what the rating is for that day for fire. For example, low risk is the color green. Moderate risk is color blue. High risk is color yellow. A very high risk, meaning the conditions are very ripe for a fire to start, is the color orange. An extreme warning is issued when conditions present to start a fire are evident and it could spread quickly. Well, that's identified as the color red. Paul wants Timothy's color to be red. He wants him to be a code red. He wants Timothy to develop and to fan into flame his gift to the point where through Timothy, the gospel spreads quickly and his followers burn intensely with a passion for serving Christ and accomplishing the mission. In 1 Corinthians 7:7, it says this, "But each man has his own gift from God. One has this gift, another has that." The Bible tells us that we've all been gifted just like Timothy. Everyone watching online and everyone here in this room, you all have a gift from God. Some of you may have several gifts from God, but you all have a gift from God. Do you know what that gift is? You should. Now, a year and a half ago, we gave everyone in the church who wanted a gift assessment. We gave you all gift assessments. 35 people took advantage of that. We told the 35 that took the assessment what their three top gifts were. Now, we did that as a staff because we wanted to know what your gifts were. And the reason for that is when we were going to start a ministry, we wanted to know, okay, whose gifts fit what we need for this ministry. So we'd be putting people in ministries that they were gifted for. Now, if you don't know your gifts, let us know on staff. We will give you an assessment. It's 3 or 4 pages. You fill out some questionnaires. You give it back to us. We do the homework, and we can tell you what your spiritual gift is. You should know what it is. You should. And you should be doing something to develop that gift. And you should be using that gift for kingdom business. So every single one of us has that charge from God. Fan your gift into flame. Don't let it die out and have it become embers, and then embers become smoldering embers, and then the embers kind of die. Because that can happen with your gift if you let it. It can happen. You know, you should be exercising your gifts as part of who you are every day. Don't waste what God has given you. Now, Paul goes on and gives Timothy some more advice on how to fan the flame. And he tells him that he needs to have a spirit of godliness. It was given to him through God by the laying. Timothy has the gift of ministry, which we've already talked about. That was given to him by God through the laying on of Paul's hands. Paul's instructed him to fan into flame the gift by drawing on our spiritual heritage, by developing the gift that God has given him, and now he instructs him to display a new spirit. Paul calls it a spirit of godliness. Now, you may not have known this about Timothy, but Timothy was extremely timid by personality. We know that historically. He was a very timid man. Timothy was known for being very timid. He was shy. He was sensitive. We've already mentioned that when Paul left him, he wept basically uncontrollably. Paul reminds Timothy that God gave him a new spirit. Listen to what the Spirit, Paul says to Timothy. This is what God did for you. It's in verse 7. It says, "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and self-discipline." Paul's reminding his charge as he hands him the torch. Timothy, I don't care if you're by your character, you were naturally timid. He says, God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power. Timothy, remember this. Remember what God gave us. In order for Timothy to fan the flame of his gift and assume the responsibility of ministry that Paul's leaving him, he's going to have to take on this spirit of godliness. And Paul says it manifests itself in three ways. And the first way is power. And that was something that Timothy needed to hear, because he was having all kinds of problems running the church at Ephesus. Because no one took him serious. He's 29, 30 years old. He's too young. We're not going to listen to this young guy. Everyone ignored him. And Timothy was too timid, too shy to confront anybody. That's not his nature. Paul's now telling him, no, Timothy, it is your nature. You're forgetting what God has given you. Back in 1 Timothy, this is a while ago, listen to what Paul says in 1 Timothy. He knew this was going to be a problem when he told Timothy to go to Ephesus. He knew he was young. He knew the culture. He knew that they would look down on him. He knew all that. Listen to what it says in 1 Timothy. He says, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, and in faith, and in purity. Paul told him this ahead of time before he took the job. When you go there, don't let anyone look down on you because you're God's appointed person. You have the authority and the power to go to that church and to lead them spiritually. And don't let anyone look down on you because you're young. Paul knew what he was doing when he appointed Timothy to be the leader of that church. And so Paul reminds him here, part of that spirit of godliness is power. The second characteristic that Paul tells Timothy is love. And we know the Bible declares that God is love. He's given every believer a spirit of love. In fact, God's love for man was so great that it drove him to send his son Jesus to die for us on the cross. He held nothing back with his love. Timothy must take on the same spirit of love as he fulfills this ministry. With power, he needs to exercise that power under the umbrella of love. But so don't you and I. Then Paul says, this also you must use self-discipline. In order to fully use this gift of ministry, Timothy, you're going to have to show a lot of self-discipline and apply yourself to keep that fire burning within inside of you. You're going to have to continually stoke the fire and keep it burning brightly. Friends, we're no different than Timothy. None whatsoever. We must also take on the spirit of godliness as Paul's describing to Timothy. The word that sticks out in the verse, in verse 7, is the word us. God did not give us. This message isn't for Timothy. Paul's telling Timothy this, but the message is for everyone. God did not give us, you or me, a spirit of timidity. But he gave us a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. The same spirit that was given to Paul and Timothy has been given to you and I as well. And we must exercise the gifts that God has given us with that same power, that same love, the same self-discipline that Paul is telling Timothy that comes from God. You see what's happening here, right? Paul's about to be killed. His death is imminent. He's going to die any day. The Christian church is brand new. It's just starting. Paul was the one carrying the torch. Paul was the one planting churches everywhere, discipling new leaders everywhere. Paul's about to die. Paul says to Timothy, you are the one that has to carry this moving forward. It's you. And Paul knows about all his problems. He knows all about his insecurities. And so Paul writes this letter, passionate letter, to this young man and say, listen to me before I die. Listen to what the task is at hand. Timothy must use his gift of ministry and preserve if the church is going to survive and grow. That's what was at stake back in those days, the growth and survival of this new thing, this new entity called the Christian church. Theologian Craig Keenler writes this. He says, quote, The letter of 2 Timothy was preserved certainly indicates that Timothy preserved as well. In other words, Timothy carried the torch. Timothy did exactly what Paul was asking him to do. And friends, Paul's message or letter to Timothy is the same for us today. You may not think the church in the world or America is in trouble and church is doing just fine. Well, you would be wrong if you thought that, if you think that. The church in America is not fine. The church in America is not doing well. We need people to carry the torch. Will the church be around 100 years? I know most of you would say, of course, that's impossible for the church not to be around. I don't know. I'm not going to be in 100 years. But if the church continues the way the church is going, it won't be. If you look at 100 years ago and look today, if that same thing happens in the next 100 years, the church is going to be 5% of what it is today. We need to fan into flame the gifts that God has given us, drawing on our spiritual heritage, because you all have one, developing the gift or gifts that God has given you because you all have them, and displaying a spirit of godliness because God has given us all the spirit of godliness and those same attributes that Paul talked to Timothy about. We all have them. We must not waste them. We must use them. You know, I hope this pandemic is coming to an end. I really hope my goal is in March, things have returned to normal. Well, to some normalcy. I really hope the vaccine is out in November, and by January, most of the country would have been vaccinated that wants to be vaccinated. And that by March, people's fears will not be what they are today. That life will be more normal, and we can start our mission here. Because if you remember back in February, the end of February, God revealed to me how he's going to change Living Hope Church. And 3 weeks later, the pandemic hits, and we can't meet. We didn't meet for 10 weeks. And then we started meeting. We know that we're meeting very sparsely. Okay, and I really hope in March things become normalized, because we're going to be a church on a mission for at least a year to become fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ and do whatever it is God asks us to do as individuals and as a church. And we're going to put some things in place to do that. And I hope you're looking forward to it, because I'm looking forward to it. You know, I still think it's a little early to start based on where we are as a culture. But we're going to have to do things like Paul is telling his friend Timothy. We're going to have to put those into our own lives and use them. And my goal for this church is to have 10 of you, 10 of you buy into this. Just 10. I'd love to have all of you, but I know that's totally unrealistic. If 10 of you buy into this concept and enter into this process, we could change the North Shore for Christ. I wholeheartedly believe that. Wholeheartedly. It's not going to take 100 of you, 10 of you. So I hope by March we can start on this process. Pray with me. Father, we thank you, God, for Paul's words to Timothy. We thank you, God, to see that even people in the Bible can get discouraged, lose vision, be concerned. And Timothy certainly was in that state when Paul wrote this. And we know, God, that he took and heeded Paul's message and carried the torch of the Christian church and did a good job. I pray, God, that we could be torch bearers ourselves, and that we could carry the torch of Christianity here in the North Shore. I pray, God, that we would take Paul's advice, that we would lean on our spiritual heritage if that's possible, that we would fan into flame the gifts or the gift that you have given us, God, and we would put it to work for the kingdom, Lord, and we would take your spirit, the spirit of power, spirit of love and self-discipline, and we would incorporate that, God, by the help of your Holy Spirit into our lives. And in doing so, God, that we would be effective in showing people and telling people about the love of Jesus Christ. So thank you, God, again for your word. Thank you, God, for our time this morning. I pray that you would bless everyone listening online and you would bless everyone here in the sanctuary, and that we would all, because of our time together this morning, be a little more like Christ. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.